You hear me now? All right. Yeah. Good morning again. Welcome to the morning Sunday school class. We are now on lesson two, A Call Revealed. Okay. And it's a message to be made known. Jonah 1:1-2 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." A lot of times the lack of communication has everything to do with the receiver not getting the message. I went out of my way just to make a point. In 1912, the Titanic set sail on the North Atlantic Ocean, okay? And the SS Californian Captain Stanley Lord had halted his ship north of the Titanic. And his radio operator had broadcast a warning. The Titanic radio operator, John George Phillip, told the Californian, "Shut up, shut up, I'm busy." This was a person that communicated. It was foggy. And it was super cold. It was November, and there was a lot of icebergs. So the captain of the Californian decided, "We're going to stop and stay here till morning." Again, the captain of the Titanic thinking, because that was the biggest ship back then, and they thought it was invincible. I don't know if it's true, that Thomas said, "This thing is so powerful that not even God can sink it." That mistake. That mistake. God with a finger, a touch of his finger. Mm-hmm. And so, the radio operator from the Californian, which was, I don't know if I'm saying it right, Cyril Evans, the radio operator of the Californian, went to bed at 11:30, okay? Only minutes before the Titanic hit an iceberg, had he remained a few minutes longer at his post, the Californian might have had the proud distinction of rescuing the lives of the passengers and crews. But because he didn't, 1,500 souls were lost. Nineveh was a city of about 120,000 residents. And they were all lost and going to hell because John was just mentioning. I told him, "How did it go on your trip?" And he said, "I really wouldn't recommend you to go there because of all the garbage around that there." And they try to bring in families and all that, but I call it Sin City, okay? It doesn't matter how much fun you'll always see the world there. The world goes there because it's the world and that's a resting place for the world, okay? Nineveh was a filthy, not only was it big, but it was big in their wickedness, the way they would do things. And so Jonah was sent to deliver a message, but instead he went the opposite direction. Let's look at 1:3. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, to Spain. So he he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He had an obligation. And we see here that the problem was not with the message. The problem was with the messenger. Okay? Jonah. Just like that Titanic was on its way to doom. And had the operator warned him. Or when they caught, we have been hit and they had plenty of time but nowhere to go until the ship started going down like a rock in the sea. And because that messenger was not there to hear, 1,500 souls were lost. And here, because Jonah was too selfish, he decided to go the opposite way. Okay? And we need to realize that, like in Jonah's day, that city, and we can say, well, we're going to heaven because we deserve it, because we, none of us can say we deserve to go to heaven. It was by the blood of Christ that cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and we are going to heaven because of what he did for us and not what we have done. Okay? The only thing we did is cause him to die and say, we're sorry, God, and he saved us, so we are going to heaven. And because we are going to heaven, and just like we were lost, there's a lost world out there around us. Okay? There is a lost world out there, and there is a good news to be told them. Okay? What is the good news, the gospel? That Jesus Christ came, he was sacrificed. Everything that you and I have ever done caused Jesus to be nailed on that cross. And every sin that you and I have committed, the whole world was nailed into Jesus Christ that day. Okay? And then when he died, all those that will receive him or have received him, Jesus took our sins, okay, and buried them in the depths of the sea. And when he rose, we now are risen to the new man in Christ to live for him, so that we can now tell the world that there's a God that loves them, and they're going to hell, and he loves them. He does not want for them to go there, okay? But the problem, again, is not with the harvest. The problem is with the laborers or the reapers. Let's go to Matthew 9, 36 through 38. And it says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then says he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. When I was about 6 years old, back in 65, okay, and back there, they were trying to build cotton pickers machinery, but they hadn't perfected them. So when my dad used to work for Valley Compress for about 28 years, but when the work would slow down and then summer was coming up, They would plant cotton. Texas, back then, that little town where I grew up, Fabens, Texas, Texas back then was the world's largest cotton producer. And I remember in my house, we lived in a little town. And in that little town, we lived on the edge of town. And behind our house, about maybe 15 feet or 20, the Franklin Canal would run behind our house. And everything that you would see was nothing but white cotton. Cotton everywhere, cotton. And once in a while, you would see maybe pecan trees. But the majority that you would see of fields, cotton, cotton, cotton everywhere, white as snow, okay? And since they didn't have cotton pickers, guess who the cotton pickers were? People. And you would see whites, blacks, Hispanics, and they looked like ants. And I remember that my dad and my mom would take us, and there's the whole community, everybody. And there was fields and people, and they looked like ants. And on this side, they had a big old empty trailer to put the cotton in. And it had a scale. And so if you were by yourself, you would take a roll, and with that thing looked like a giant punching bag behind you. And you would see people. And if you were by yourself, you'd go picking the cotton, and then when you get to that end, you would come on the other side of the road, picking cotton. If there was two, like my mom and my dad, my mom would get one side, my dad another, and they would go picking. But everybody was working together. They looked like little ants, and you would see those feel white as snow, and all of a sudden they started turning like blank, because I mean they wouldn't leave anything. You know what they say, that was the best way of picking cotton, but because of greed, people wanted now, so he invented cotton pickers. Even the cotton pickers today, you have first pick, second pick, and then what they call root, the leftover. But people would pick the cotton so good that when you look back, there's no cotton. Okay, and so when they get back, they would put the cotton on that scale. There's a man there, and they had Victor Arellano, Sarah Arellano, and they would weigh the cotton, 52 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever. Man, those things were heavy. And so they'd go back there, and they would empty, the guy up there would empty their bag, and then they'd go again, okay? And the reason I'm saying that, okay, is that if we as Christians could see the harvest, it's ready out there, the world, you know what? Somebody talked to me about God. I knew in my mind that there was a heaven, that there was a hell. I've never seen it. I knew that there was a devil and a God. I didn't know them, okay? But somebody, somewhere, I had heard, just like you and me. But when we're teenagers, we're too cool to say, well, when I turn 65, when I'm old, I'll give my life to Christ. That's how we think. And you know what? I tell my wife, I wish I would have given my life to Christ when I was a teenager, I would have avoided a lot of problems in my life. And I thank God that now that I'm saved, I am working. And you know what? Working for the Lord is the best thing you can do. Whether you're cleaning out there, whether you're cleaning in here, whether you're in choir, it doesn't matter. Working for the Lord is the best thing that can ever happen to you. Okay? So, we have a commission of authority. We have been authorized by God to take the message to the lost world, the gospel or the good news. Let them know that they're lost. And when somebody went to you and gave you the gospel and you received the Lord Jesus Christ and God forgave you, and all of a sudden he wrote your name in the book of heaven, okay? And he sealed you and me with the Holy Spirit. And I remember before I accepted the Lord, and so can you, when nothing would bother you. I mean, I would say a bad word like nothing. And when I got saved, and I tried to say a bad word, I, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. You know what? That's the Holy Spirit now in you, working to perfect you until he comes. That's what he does, okay? And so there's a lost world, but again, much of the problem today is that we cannot, that we do not allow God to be God in our lives. We don't let him, we don't, as Christians, we don't let him control us the way we should. Sometimes we, yeah, God, I love you and I serve you, but we still want our, supposedly our independence. And without God, there can be no independence. We need to depend completely on God, and we cannot depend on God completely until we surrender our lives completely to God. Jonah was saved. He knew that if he died, he was going to heaven. But there came a time that he got lazy and he wasn't depending on God. And he got in trouble, and that's how we get in trouble sometimes. Okay? Let's go to Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own sight. And this is what happens to us when we do not allow God to be God in our lives, and we try to do, yes, I go to church, but are we really serving the Lord the way we should? And again, this is why the Holy Spirit, see, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works in our lives as a gentleman. When we're wrong, he doesn't walk around us. Have you seen that, those cars, those yellow cars, they have like a little mouth, they have ears and a little tail, and it says, "We love you truly." And there's a little mouth looking at this guy, and this there's a guy with a big hat, and he's calling him with one finger, but on the other hand, he's got a mallet ready to smash him. You know, our God is not that way, that we do something wrong and he's ready to smash us on the head. Our God, through the Holy Spirit, is a gentleman. And when we do something wrong, he says, "Enoch, is that really where you're supposed to be? Is that what you're really supposed to say? You spoke with your brother, sister, and that wasn't very nice." So, and the Holy Spirit will bring you back and say, "You know what, I'm sorry." Why do we do that? That's the Holy Spirit in control of us. And when Jonah went to the boat, yeah, he was trying to ignore God, but the Holy Spirit kept working in his life, so he wouldn't let him. And the Holy Spirit will not let us until we do his work. So we need to discern God's voice in the midst of a crooked world. You just mentioned this here. Yeah, you go as a Christian, and yes, we enjoy life and all that. But sometimes what the world puts in front of us is artificial and it's fake. And they enjoy life because they enjoy life with the world, but you and I cannot enjoy that type of life that I probably would have been enjoying the world out there, because you know why? Because I was from the world, and so I would do the things of the world. But when God called me, we are in the world, but we are not of the world no more. And we need to be different. And we cannot be different unless the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and changes our life. Unless God's word gets into our mind, our heart, we cannot change on our own. So God will keep on speaking to us. Do you remember when you weren't saved, and I don't know how many years you have been saved, people would talk to you, and you would see somebody. I remember I was in high school, long hair, skinny, looked like a broom, upside down. But I would see the teenagers of my age that were Christians. There was something different in them. And for more that I had my parties and my group and my friends, but there was something that I would say, I wish I had what they have, but I can't because my friends will laugh at me because I was from the world, okay? And the voice of God would always, I remember when I was drinking with my friends, sometimes I would last 2-3 days without coming home. And in the morning, on Sunday morning, they would have Billy Graham come on the radio for some reason. I was looking for my music, and there's no music. There's everything but church and all that. And then Billy Graham would come. Boy, my goodness, God would use him to get to me. And I was listening to him. And boy, when my friends would come, what are you doing? And I would change the station. Oh, but you know what? I would go home, and in my mind, the Lord, God had already been speaking through me since I was a child. That's how God works in our lives. So that when one day we moved to a little town in the middle of nowhere, and there's a man, Joe and I can still see their faces. They'd been witnessing in the little town of Winden, where there is nothing out there. There's not even no paved roads, dirt roads and all that. And you could see that they were knocking on doors all sweaty. It was hot. And they were going around. And it looked like our house was the last house that they were going to stop by. And I was outside in the yard. I was building a motor because I was going to build a racing car. And I saw them on this side of my eye right there, and I saw, oh no, here they come, okay. And I wasn't trying to be rude or anything, but I didn't want them to talk to me because then they're gonna start telling me that I'm going to hell. I didn't wanna hear that I'm going to hell and that Jesus loves me. And so, hey amigo, what are you doing? I'm building a, and I wasn't rude with him, but I didn't give him my face, and I was talking, and he said, he invited me to church. And when my wife and I went that Wednesday night, he said, Enoch, I thought you weren't coming. I could see her face over there. She didn't, all sweaty, didn't even own her shoes, all full of dust, and saying, what's the use? Like, she didn't say it, but it was like she's saying, what's the use? Nobody listens to us. But he said, and you came. And little did they know that after them casting their fishing rod in the desert, at the end, at the last minute, they caught two fish, my wife and I. We surrendered, but the Holy Spirit had already been convicting me. It wasn't such. God had been using different people in my life just like he did in yours. Okay? And so now we go to hold on. We go to Saul. Saul was on his way to Damascus, okay? He was on his way to persecute any Christian that he could find there. when suddenly he hears a voice. And he could discern that it wasn't the voice of the world. See, he was going with that hate. I'm going to get them. I'm going to kill them because they're not my religion. They're not my color. They're not. So he was that voice, the world used to call him. But this voice was different. Okay? And that voice was the voice of the Lord speaking to him. In Acts, and we're not going to go there, but in Acts 9, you see the story of Saul. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou?" He knew who it was. And then he answers his own question. He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" He acknowledged him. "It's you calling me." And you know why? Because he saw that, he heard that same voice. He heard that same voice in the stoning of Stephen. And he couldn't, he said, "Why?" And all, not only Stephen, but all the Christians that were being persecuted in front of him. And they had a smile. I mean, you hit somebody on the on their toes and but they were praising the Lord instead of complaining. And he couldn't get a grip. Why is this happening? Why are they so, what is different than what the way we live? And so when he saw Stephen, instead of complaining and telling God to condemn him, he said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Paul could not get that out of his head. And the Holy Spirit, that voice that talked to him, is the same voice that has talked to you and me. Okay, that voice was the same voice talking to Jonah. A wise man or a wise woman will have an ear that is attentive to God's voice, and a heart that is eager to obey that voice. Psalms 95, 7 and 8 says, "For he is our God, and we are his people, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." And then it says, "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart." God is calling us. Guess what happened to Jonah? He hardened his heart. Why? Because God, you don't understand, those people are evil, but that's why they need the gospel. And it's not up to you. The Holy Spirit, you'd be surprised how many people that have read just a track and the Lord starts working in them. And it's in his timing. So Jonah was saying, "You don't understand, God. They're mean. They've killed our people. And you want me to go ahead and let them rot." But God told him, "Did you deserve to go to heaven?" "No. They don't deserve to go to heaven, but they're lost. And you got saved, and I want you to take that same message to them. They're lost. They don't even know which is their right hand or their left. They were so corrupt that they didn't know what was up or down." And so God told them to take that message. And so now he said, you need to have a, not only to be discern the will of God, but we need to have a vision in our lives for God. Okay? We need to say, okay, we are here at the church. What do we need to do? I wish to see, and we're starting to see that children come to church back again. I want to see the rows here, the chairs filled with people. I want to see the choir, and the choir is doing a good job. growing. Okay. I want to see people get involved. That is my vision, to see God's people grow here and God to bring the lost around us. And this, we should have a vision for that. Okay. Let's go to, and I'm going to go here on 19. We need to have God's vision determined in our lives. Okay? When God speaks, and I'm going to stop there with God's vision, but when God speaks, he does it so with a purpose. He has carefully crafted his message, and every word is essential. Verse 1 of Jonah tells us that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. This was God's message to his child. It was not to be ignored. Okay? There is nothing more frustrating than being in the middle of a conversation. Okay? And that's when you and God are talking, when God is talking to us. And there's nothing more frustrating than when you are talking to somebody and then all of a sudden the call is dropped. Hello, hello. Can you hear me now? Okay? And it's so sad that in our parts when we hang the phone on God because our batteries, spiritual batteries, are low. We need to be very careful that we always have our spiritual battery charged so that we can keep and communicate with God. And I'm going to stop there because time is up. I was hoping to get further, but I talked too much. But it's amazing what the Lord has here for us. So we'll continue with lesson 2, and we will be going into a call of action. Yeah, we have to have the vision for God, but now we need to take action into what he has called us to do. Okay, it's not good to say to the brother, oh, are you hungry? Go in peace if we don't help our brothers. So we need to take action. So, and that's where we're going to start next week. And again, pray for me this morning. Thank you for praying for me. I have felt your prayers. And if I get up there with that confidence, it's because we have prepared, you have been praying, and the Lord will take charge. We ask for the power of God, and because we ask for the power of God in our lives, all glory must be given to him. Otherwise, we will fail. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask that you bless each and every one of us. Thank you for the study of the book of Jonah. We ask that you work in our lives, in our hearts. And even though Jonah did what he wasn't supposed to, Lord, he still preached. And sometimes we don't do what we need to, but Lord, you will keep on working in our lives until we do that which you called us to do. Be with us this morning, Father. Be with Pastor Cook and Michelle as they're out and about with their parents. And then they'll be traveling. Keep them safe and bring them back safe. Prepare us for today's message. Father, prepare all the Sunday school teachers, everyone that has a part here at Harvest Baptist. And Father, we'll give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Thank you.